word of God.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Help me. Help me, Lord. Oh, Lord, please. Please, Father, bless.
Amen.
Amen. 434, shall we gather at the river? A baptism song. That ain't got nothing to do with baptism.
No.
That has to do with being in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. And crystal flowing river from the throne of God. It has nothing to do with baptism. Amen.
Amen.
I just go to show you how much Baptists pay attention. Amen.
there in Houston drew me to Calvary and showed me how Jesus died in my place. With my heart I believed it, with faith I received it, and that's how I got saved.
Amen. Praise God. Still works. Old-fashioned preaching and singing, it still works. Praise God. Good to be with you this morning. Amen. I believe we're already live, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I came unprepared this morning. I didn't come with my microphone on, so we'll have to wait just a minute and get all that figured out. Well, praise God. I've been sitting and listening to preaching all week long, so I guess it's about time I got up and did a little myself. Amen. Make sure we got everything on here. Oh, yeah, we're on. All right. I want you to take your Bible. Turn it down just a little bit, Lonnie. I'm a whole lot bassier than Brother Weaver was. So cut me back a little bit. There we go. That sounds pretty good. Amen. We're going to get back in our study of the Christian life. No sense in missing a lick on that. Just keep on going forward and keep on trucking where we were at. So we're going to be back in, what are we in? The what part of the Christian life? Anybody remember? The heart. That's right. The heart of the Christian life. Amen. Praise God. And we talked the last couple of weeks about different aspects of that. But I just want to touch on last week, or the week before last, actually, because Brother Weaver was here last Sunday morning. But the week before, we talked about the meaning of the heart of the Christian life. And it's sacrifice. Amen. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of yielding to Christ. It's a life of letting His will dominate your will. It's a life. Yes, we're all right, brother. It's a life of letting what Christ wants, His wants and His wishes overrule and override yours. Amen. And we talked about that last time. But let's go back to our text verse that we used. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Y'all pray for me this morning. Again, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather and also just had a really, really rough weekend. So, and it had nothing to do with me doing anything I shouldn't be doing. It just was a rough one. Amen. You say that in some circles, they don't know what you mean. And lest anybody listening to me think anything otherwise. Amen. It was a rough weekend because of circumstances. But God is good. And God is able to lift us up above our circumstances. As I've told you before, somebody said to, I think it was Dr. Tom Malone, he was out visiting, and so he said, "How y'all been doing?" He said, we hadn't seen you in church lately. He said, "Well, under the circumstances, brother, he said, "Get out from under there. You don't belong under them circumstances. You're under grace. You ain't under circumstances." Amen. Amen. So we're under grace this morning. Amen. If you're saved, you're born again, you're under grace. Amen. And let the grace of God work and move in your life. Let Him speak to you today. Don't let anything hinder. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, that one verse of Scripture, and we talked about it before. You know what it says. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Amen. If it weren't for the love of Christ, we would be dead in our sins. If it weren't for the love of Christ, we'd be on our way to hell. If it weren't for the love of Christ, we'd have no hope in this world. We'd have no hope in the world to come. Thank God for the love of Christ. We talked about the fact that the love of Christ, it constraining us. It meant it throng, the same word that means throng, like a multitude would surround somebody and press upon them. That's the way the love of Christ does a believer. Amen. It presses us. It presses us to go forward, to do more than we think we can do. It presses us to become a force for Christ. Amen. And when I say us become a force for Christ, I don't mean that you and I can do anything of ourselves to please Jesus, because we can't do anything of ourselves to please Jesus. When I say we're to become a force for Christ, when I say we're to become something for the Lord, I mean that He is to make us that. He is to be the one who directs, and He's the one who gives the power to do those things. It's nothing that we can do of ourselves.
Amen. But the love of Christ, listen to me, if you're a child of God, if Jesus lives in you, if you are truly born again, then God is not satisfied to let you just sit and wait on Him to come back and get you. Amen. You're not here to be a museum piece for God. Too many people, they're good museum pieces, amen. They just like to look, stand around and look good, amen. That's not what we're here to do. It is not about you, it's about others. It's about loving others for Christ's sake. That is the core of the Christian life. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? You know what he said. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul, amen. We're to love Him with our heart, with our mind, and our will. We're to give all of our being to the Lord Jesus Christ. But He said the second commandment is like unto it. It means it is its twin. It is its exact equal. Amen. If you're going to love God, you must love your neighbor as yourself. You're to love thy neighbor just as you love you. Amen. And I love me pretty good. Amen. Don't you love you? When you get hungry, don't you feed you? When you get tired, don't you rest you? Amen. When you want something, you usually try to get something for you, don't you? Amen. When you need something, you try to fulfill your need, don't you? Amen. Well, that's the way we're to be for other people. That's what God would have us to be. And we are to be, it should be pressing upon us that we fulfill these things. It should be a pressing need of ours. You understand? It's not a natural desire. It's not a natural need. It is a supernatural need and a supernatural desire that only comes from the indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God. The presence, the very presence of Christ. When the Bible commands us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Holy Ghost of God provides that mind. Amen. And we are to let that mind rule and reign in us. Wake up, Katie. We're having church. Amen. Listen, we're to let that mind rule and reign in us in every day of our life. Amen. So, when he said the love of Christ constraineth us, it is to be pressing upon us to love others, to do for others, to care about others. Amen. Every day of our life. And not only does it press upon us, but it also is to burn within us. Amen. As it talks about Simon Peter's mother taken with a fever. She was taken. It had hold of her. It was burning away in her. Amen. And the love of God should burn in us. And if it's not burning, listen to me, you've got something that's thrown on it like a wet blanket, and you need to find out what it is. You need to ask God to show you what is squelching the love of God in your life. Amen. You know what squelching is? Some of y'all know what it means. Some of you don't. I bought a CB radio from my restaurant. Because I got truckers driving up down the road all the time. And I like to get on there and talk to them and tell them what we got to eat. Because, you see, they get hungry. They won't stop somewhere. I want them to stop there. Amen. But, see, there's a knob on that CB radio. It's called a squelch. And if I don't turn that knob a certain way, I'm going to get a bunch of racket all day long in there. And it'd be so noisy in that office nobody could think. Just a bunch of racket and chatter constantly. You turn that squelch knob, amen, so that you get things to where it ought to be. See, we let this world squelch the Holy Spirit of God trying to talk to us. Because you understand something? The Holy Ghost of God is not like a noisy CB. It's not constantly squawking and chattering. The Holy Ghost of God doesn't do that. No, the Bible tells us that He speaks in a small, still voice. A small, still voice. It's small. It's quiet. You got to get still to hear that voice. Amen? You've got to separate yourself from you and your desires and your needs and your worldliness and get away from that and separate yourself unto God so that the Holy Ghost of God can be stirred up within you so that you can get to where you're pleasing to God. Amen? You're not going to get that in this world running 90 to nothing without ever taking time for the Lord. That fire will not burn, amen, with this world's gasoline. You have got to get along with God. So, the Christian life is a life of dedication. Amen? It's not an on again, off again kind of thing. It's a life of dedication. Amen. It's a life of devotion. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into this some more. Father in heaven, Lord, I need you this morning, and I ask you, Lord, to help me. Lord God, you know I'm weary. Lord God, I'm burdened down with a lot of things, and Lord, I need you more than ever this morning. I need you, Father, to take control in this life. I need you to take control of these lips and speak through me, Lord. I don't want to be bland. I don't want to be ordinary this morning. Lord, I want to do something for you. I want to give you glory and I want to give you honor. Lord, I want to yield to the word of God and let the Holy Ghost of God speak through me. Help me this morning, Lord. Please be with those who are listening, Lord, over the internet. Lord, be with those who are here this morning in person. Lord God, I pray for each and every one of them, Lord, that the Holy Ghost of God would reveal things in their life. Father, I pray that, Lord, truth would shine upon us. Lord God, the areas and the things in our life that don't belong. Lord, where we've adopted this world's ways without even our understanding and knowledge. Oh God, I pray you'd shine the light on and expose it. And Lord, that we'd come in repentance and yield and get these things, confess and forsake and get these things out of our life that Christ might be honored. That Christ might be glorified. Lord, that our lives might be filled with your blessing. Lord, that we might receive the promises of the Word of God. Father, that, Lord, that our children that come after us might learn the ways of God, Father, and follow our examples. Please help us, Lord, to discern and receive what the Word of God has for us today. Lord, I pray that you'd bless now, pour out your Spirit on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, again, I said to you that this life is a life of devotion. Amen. You ought to know what that means. Amen. That means that Christ is number one. He's more important than anything. And I've talked about how young love, when people first, I hate to use the word fall in love, you don't fall in love. You choose to love. Amen. You make a choice. I'm going to take care of this person from now on. I don't want anybody else taking care of them. I want to be the one to take care of them. I want to be the one to be there for them. I don't want to put that off on somebody else. Nobody else is going to do that. It's going to be me. That's love. It's not, oh, she's pretty. Oh, she smells good. Oh, she's soft. She's so feminine. Oh, yeah. That ain't love, folks. Because guess what? Time will erode the pretty. It will. It sure will. And time will erode all those things in all of us. You can't build love on external things. It has to be a matter of the heart. Amen? And you don't love Christ the same way either. Although he never changes. Amen? It ought to be something more than superficial, what God can do for me. When God stops doing for me, then I'm not going to serve God anymore. Because God will give you times of testing. Amen. I'm preaching a different message than I started out to preach here. God will give you periods of testing and times of trial in order to strengthen you. And if God is your spiritual Santa Claus, you won't be with him long. Amen. Listen. The love of Christ is the driving force in the Christian life. The love of Jesus, the love that we have for him and the love that he instills in us is the driving, it's the motor behind the Christian life. And if you're trying to do it in your own strength, you might as well be out on the highway pushing a Ferrari down the highway. That's about the way you look, trying to live for Christ on your own. You're like, man, pushing a Ferrari. Amen. Got the keys, got gas in the tank, but he'd just soon pop it in neutral and get behind and push. Amen. Listen to me. The Christian life is a life of dedication. It's a life of devotion. It's a life of service. It's not a life of coasting and what can God do for me. It's a life of what can I do for God. It's a life of loyalty. Not on again, off again, up again, down again. It's a life of loyalty. It's a life of faithfulness. Amen. And we said last time that sacrifice was its meaning. Let me say to you this morning that righteousness is its principle. Now don't miss what I just said. Look up here and listen. Righteousness is the principle of the Christian life. You say, what does that mean? I don't mean principle like there's a superintendent and a principal of the school. I don't mean that. Not principle, P-A-L, but P-L-E. Principle, what does that mean? Let's look at it and think about it for just a minute. A principle is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. In other words, your principle, it governs what you believe, it governs how you act, and it governs how you think. Your heart, your mind, and your will, driven by principle. And what is that principle? It's to be the righteousness of God. That's the central post of the Christian life. We're to live for God. Amen? You know, the Bible's very clear on the fact that we are to make sure that we are lining up with what Christ would have us to be. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Now, somebody could take that and say, well, he's saying, make sure you're saved. And I believe that's true as well. I think you ought to go back and revisit where you got saved and make sure that it was all about the Holy Ghost showing you were a lost sinner and you came to have your sins forgiven. You came to be born again. Not that you did it because you wanted to impress somebody, or you did it so that somebody would like you, or you did it because your friend did it. Listen, there ought to be a true conversion in you. Amen. I believe that with all my heart, but I'm telling you this morning, when he says examine yourselves, I'm talking to believers this morning. Amen. And listen, and Paul was talking to believers even in 2 Corinthians 13:5 when he said examine yourselves. Listen, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Test yourself. Check yourself. Well, how am I going to check myself? How am I going to test myself? How am I going to prove myself and make sure I am really all that what God says a Christian ought to be? How in the world are we going to figure that out? How do we examine ourselves? There you go. If I go to the doctor for an examination, you say he's going to check my blood pressure. Well, you say, well, how does he know where it's supposed to be? Well, that's because they have a standard set. It's called 120 over 80. Amen. That's your systolic and diastolic. That's what you're supposed to be at. Amen. So you want to check it. That's what you check it by. You got to, like Brandon said, you got to have a standard. And that standard is the Word of God. The Word of God is, you know, this morning when I got up, I wanted to see how cold it was. So what I do, I walk to my kitchen window and I look through my kitchen window out there at the old Diet Rack Cola thermometer hanging on the back porch. And it said it was a little over 40 degrees. See, I had to have, there's a standard to check it by. If I want to know what the barometric pressure is, I got to watch Troy Dungan or somebody and find out what the barometric, I don't even care about that stuff. But see, there's a standard. It's a barometer they use to check all that stuff. Amen. It's a tool of measurement. The Word of God is our tool of measurement. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at that. Amen. And we're going to check ourselves by the Word of God. I want to say to you, again, this life is a life of service. You know, there's an old preacher by the name of Bob Jones, and he's been in heaven for a long time. And since then, his offspring ain't done too well. But he was a very good man of God, very faithful man of God. And he used to have a lot of sayings. You know, he had sayings that people remember years after his death. Duties never conflict. Amen. When you're doing right, those things don't conflict with one another. He said it's a sin to do less than your best. The greatest ability is dependability. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. That's one of his. But one of my favorites, and I quoted it for years, do right. If the stars fall, do right. Amen. Just do right. Don't make excuses. Just do right. Amen. So let's look and see if we're doing right this morning. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, if you would. 1 Corinthians 13. Turn over with me. I'm going to try not to be too long this morning. I'm going to try to preach in a good time frame this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So pray for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 6. And it's right in the middle of the love chapter. But there's some, and there's plenty of points in here I could go to, but I want to focus on three this morning. But let's begin there in verse 4. The Bible says about charity, and of course when we're talking about charity, we're talking about the word agape, which is God's love. It's unmerited love. It's undeserving love. It's love without It's love without checks and balances. It's just love. Amen? Charity suffereth long. Oh, it'll put up with all kinds of things. It will continue to love though someone attack, though someone hurt. It will continue to love because it's not conditional. Amen? That's what we're talking about, unconditional love. And it's kind. It doesn't have to have a reason to be. It just is kind. Charity envieth not. It's not a jealous love. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't put itself before everything else. It's not self-important love. It's not puffed up. It's not full of pride. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not a cheap, nasty love. It seeketh not her own. It's not a selfish love. It's not easily provoked. But I want you to look at these last three. It thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. I want us to look at those three statements. It thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Turn, if you would, over to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Beginning with verse 14 there. Charity thinks no evil. You want to see where you're at in your Christian life? You want to see really and truly? Let's just put you up against the wall and let's lower the thing down. Let's see how tall you are. Hey, listen. You know why they do that? They're not doing that to try to hurt anybody's feelings. They just want to see how tall you are. You know why they put you on that scale? Some people, they get offended, man. Don't put me on that scale. I don't want to know how much I weigh. But they're doing that for a reason. Amen. They got to check and see where you're at. Amen. That's why we're looking at this morning. I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to feel comfortable. I can promise you this is not going to feel comfortable. You know, when they set you down and check your reflexes and they bang you on your knee, that don't feel good. Maybe my doctor been hitting me harder than yours has. I don't know. But it don't feel good, but it's necessary. Amen. Charity thinks no evil. Mark chapter 7, 14 and following. The Bible said, and when he had called, that's Jesus, when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you. If you don't know what hearken means, that means listen. It means hearken every one of you and understand. Don't just hear me, but get what I'm saying. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out from him, those are they that defile a man, the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, Jesus spoke that to a crowd of people. Amen? And then the Bible says, and when he was entering into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Don't y'all get it, what I'm saying? He said, do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meat. You say, what does that mean? Hey, listen, it's going to go in the toilet. It ain't going to stay in the body. Amen? Everything you put in your mouth is going to go in the toilet. You say, Jesus talking like that? That's Jesus talking like that. He's trying to make them understand. Listen, that's just your digestive system. What you put in there ain't going to hurt you. It's what comes out that's going to hurt you. Comes out of your heart. Amen. Listen, they were so obsessed with cleanliness, and he's saying, listen, it's that kind of cleanliness, that's not what you need to be concerned with. It's not the cleanness of what you put in your mouth. It's the cleanness of what goes into your heart. He said, listen, he said, are you without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from the... I just read that. All right, verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, out of the heart of men, proceed what? Evil thoughts. That's the first thing the Lord mentioned. Before he mentioned anything else, he mentioned evil thoughts. Can I tell you this morning that charity thinketh no evil? It does not think evil thoughts. Amen. If the love of Christ is dwelling and living in you, you are not going to be filled with evil thinking. He said, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries. You see, that comes from the heart of a man. He looks on a woman and he lusts after her and he goes after her and commits adultery. That came from his heart. That's a wicked thing. It's an evil thing. But it proceeds out of an evil heart. Amen. He said fornications. Why is it that young people commit fornication all over the place? Why is it that grown people commit fornication all over the place, seemingly as if it was no sin at all? It's because their hearts are wicked. Why is it that people kill and take another's life, murders, it says? That proceeds out of the heart, to take another's life, all for an evil desire. Thefts. To rob somebody and steal what rightfully belongs to them. Covetousness. Greediness. That's what it is. Greediness to the core. Amen. That proceeds out of a man's heart. He says, I want more than what God has given me. I want more and I'm going to go get it. I'm covetous. Wickedness. That's loving the filth of this world. Deceit. Being willing to lie, to cheat, to get what you can get. Where does that come from? Wake him up. That comes from the heart. We need to be careful of what kind of thoughts we have, because all those things can come out of a heart. Do you understand that? A heart that is not filled with the love of Christ. All of those things can come out of that heart. Lasciviousness, that's lawlessness. That's I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I don't care what anybody says. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do because I want to do it. That's lasciviousness. That comes out of your heart. It will come out of your heart. If your heart is not governed by the Lord Jesus Christ, those things will come out of you. An evil eye. I'm going to get that sucker. That comes from a heart. Blasphemy. Hey, mocking God comes out of your heart. Pride, thinking you're something you're not. Foolishness. That's an interesting one, isn't it? That's being silly to the point of just absolute stupidity. Letting silliness run. Listen, I like to laugh. Y'all like to laugh. We like to laugh. There's nothing wrong with laughter. Amen. The Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. It's good to have laughter and enjoy laughter. But listen, there's a point where silliness gets to the point where it's sinful. All these things come from within and defile the man. It's sin against God. It separates the relationship between us and God. It puts a wall between us, and there's no communication between us and God. And we're walking in our flesh, and we're walking in the dark. And a lot of times we don't even know it. Can I say to you this morning that Christ was never swayed by evil? Ever. Matter of fact, evil ran from him. You remember those demons inside that demoniac of Gadarene? Send us over there. Don't send us away to hell. No, send us over there to them hogs. We want to go. Some please do anything. Just don't. Don't do that. See, they didn't want that. So evil don't want to part with Jesus. Evil can't stop Jesus. Never could. Amen. Still can't. Amen. Never will. Amen. So I'm saying to you, if the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, if he wanted no part with evil and evil wanted no part with him, and if we are to have the love of the Lord Jesus living and abiding inside of our beings, if we're to have the mind of Christ, if our hearts to beat for him, listen, if his will is to be our will, can I tell you something? That stuff don't belong in your life. The love of Christ thinks no evil. If the love of Christ is in you, examine yourself. Look, let's listen to the Word of God. Listen to what it says. It thinks no evil. Can I tell you what it doesn't do? It doesn't cherish malice. Thinking about, I'm going to hurt somebody. I'm going to get them. I'm sitting around cherishing that. Boy, they're going to get theirs, and I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them good. Rolling that thought around in your mind, like a piece of hard candy in your mouth, sucking on it, enjoying the flavor of it. I'm going to get them. See, the love of God doesn't do that. Amen. I'm going to hit on one of yours. I can promise you before this is over, I'm going to hit on one of yours. Amen. It doesn't do that. It doesn't cherish malice. It doesn't give way to revenge. See, the love of Christ remembers that the Word of God says that vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. It doesn't sit and dream about getting back at somebody else. Listen, the love of Christ is not soon nor long angry. The love of Christ doesn't fly off the handle. The love of Christ doesn't snap at others. Amen. The love of Christ doesn't stay mad at somebody either and drag it out. Amen. And prolong it. Amen. And the love of Christ is quick to forgive. Amen. Listen, you say, is the love of Christ in me? I don't know. How's your temper? Convicting preaching to myself, folks. I'm telling you, this convicts me. Listen, the love of Christ is never mischievous. It's never up to no good. Amen. It isn't looking for something to do wrong. The love of Christ, listen, it doesn't think evil. It's like I said, it's never inclined to revenge. It never even thinks about revenge. Amen. It's not in its field of view. By the way, it doesn't suspect evil of others either. It doesn't go around expecting others to do wrong. Amen. Listen, we actually should be shocked when we see evil in others. Amen? Because listen, Christ took his message to every person. Amen? He didn't say, well, them over there, they ain't worth talking to. Them over there, I ain't going to talk to them. He preached it to everybody. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He doesn't think evil thoughts. The love of Christ doesn't always expect the worst. Amen? The love of Christ doesn't always expect the worst. The love of Christ, this microphone keeps falling off my ear. The love of Christ, if the love of Christ is in you, you're not going to go around always expecting the worst in somebody, always looking for it to come out, always looking for the worst thing to happen. Listen to me, the love of Christ drives us to have a positive view on things. I'm not saying we're Joel Osteen, everything's going to be our best life now, but I'm telling you that when the love of Christ is dwelling and abiding in you, you are not in a negative frame of mind. Think evil thoughts. It doesn't look suspiciously on others who give you no reason to. The love of Christ is trusting. Amen? The love of Christ is not looking for the worst in others. Amen? Got to get quiet in here. I think it's because this truth hurts, isn't it? Amen? The love of Christ, listen, it's not likely to be jealous or suspicious. Amen? Not likely to be jealous. You know, true love isn't jealous. Can I tell you that? Look up here. True love isn't jealous. True love is confident. Amen? Hey, listen. True love says, I've given my all. I'm going to put all of it on the line. I'm not going to hold some of it back. I'm not going to suspect things of people who have never given me a reason. Amen? I'm just going to love. That's true love. Amen? True love. Listen, the love of Christ will drive us to hide faults in others. Not blow them up and drag them out and crucify them in front of others. Amen? The love of Christ would drive us in order to cover those faults and try to help and heal and pray and pray for God to deliver rather than to expose and tear down. It's not one to drag skeletons out in somebody's life. Amen. We've all got them. I got a closet full. I just soon put a padlock on that door and forget about it. Amen. I ain't going back. Hey, I ain't what I used to be. Amen. I ain't what I'm going to be, but I ain't what I used to be. Praise God. The love of Christ. It never yields to suspicion without proof. Amen. Just because somebody said something about somebody else, I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, yeah, well, sure enough, yeah, I thought that all along about them. Listen, I want to know for sure before I'm gonna give up on somebody. Amen. It expects the best, not the worst. The love of Christ. It's slow to form a bad opinion of somebody else. And it hates to do so when the evidence is clear that they are not the type of person you ought to be around. It's slow to do so. It hates to do so. Hates to give up on somebody else. I'm grieved this morning because I invested myself in somebody else who's proven themselves to be somebody that's untrustworthy. It grieves me this morning. The love of Christ will always try to make the best out of a bad situation. Listen, we need to examine ourselves. Is that how we are? Are we lining up with these things, or are there things in us that we see that, hey, wait a minute, I'm not lining up. I've got some evil thoughts in my life. My thought life is messed up. Lord, please forgive me, cleanse me, help me, Lord. I don't want to be that anymore. Forgive me. Lord, I repent. God, give me grace not to go back and do that again. I don't want to be a reprobate. I don't want to walk in darkness. Amen. I don't want Christ to be unhappy with me. I don't want the Holy Ghost to be grieved in me. What's the second thing we read? Well, it rejoiceth not in iniquity. It doesn't like sin. It doesn't find sin to be funny. It doesn't find joy in others falling into sin. Amen. It's not a joy to see somebody else fall down. That's the thing. That's the way this world works. That's the operation of this world. Comedy, as far as this world's concerned, that's what it is. It's tragedy. It's laughing at tragedy. Laughing at the sins of others. Don't y'all realize that? I grew up watching television. Most of us did. I don't watch it hardly ever anymore. If I watch anything now, it's a documentary or sporting something. I don't watch junk. I'm gonna tell you something. I grew up watching those sitcoms. I did. I grew up watching, you know, Three's Company. So some of y'all remember Three's Company. You know, and all these sitcoms, it was always a misunderstanding. It was always a lie somebody had told. It was always some trick somebody had pulled on somebody else. And the whole episode was people laughing at sin and people trying to find a way to get around their sin and get away with it. That's the theme behind every episode. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:9. See, we were schooled on that, whether you realize it or not. We were schooled by that. We were taught that lesson, that's the way we're to be. We're to think sin is funny. We're to laugh at sin. We're to mock at sin. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. What the Bible says? Fools. It's foolish to laugh and make a mockery of sin. But among the righteous, there is favor. You want God's favor? Then don't make a mock at sin. The Bible says it rejoiceth not in iniquity. The love of Christ, if it lives in you, you will not find sin a laughing matter. It does not take pleasure in doing injury or hurting anyone. The love of Christ doesn't. Does not find joy in getting back at somebody and hurting them. See, it's not willing to think evil of anybody, like I said, without clear proof. We're not willing to just laugh and say, aha, see there, look at you. Look, I knew you was going to mess up. I knew you was, see? Ha, I knew. See, that's making a mockery of sin. It doesn't wish ill to anybody. It doesn't want to wrong anybody. It doesn't want to hurt anybody. It doesn't want to make the hurt of somebody else its heart's delight. Amen? Listen, when the love of Christ is in you, you see somebody else fall down. That doesn't make you feel good. Even if it's your enemy, it doesn't make you feel good if you're a Christian who loves the Lord. Even if it's somebody who's wronged you over and over in the past, when they fall down and they fall flat, you don't sit back and go, ha, 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 about time. You don't rejoice in doing harm or in mischief toward others. You don't rejoice in the faults of others. You don't rejoice in the failings of others. You don't stand up and triumph when they do. Amen. But out of your pride, out of your ill will toward them, it doesn't gratify you if you have the love of Christ. The sins of others are a grief to someone who loves the Lord. It grieves you. I'm not necessarily talking about those who you love dearly. I'm saying just those around you. I'm saying maybe those who've been close to you in the past and now they're not close to you because you've stepped away from them, because you've had to separate yourself from them. And maybe they've made fun of you. Maybe they've laughed at you and mocked you. Maybe they've turned on you. But when they fall down, you don't sit back and go, ha, ha, ha. That's not a Christ-like attitude. You need to examine, if that's the way you feel in your heart when your enemy falls down, then you need to examine yourself. It ought to grieve you. Sin ought to grieve you. Anywhere, sin ought to grieve you. It ought to move you to prayer. It ought to cause you to want to get on your knees for that person, not be a source of entertainment for you. Amen? A source of entertainment where you want to call everybody you know and tell them about it. Amen. Praise God. That gossiping. Hey, that's, some people, they can't wait to see somebody else fall, so they got something to do all day. Oh, it's quiet in here. You realize it is at the very height of malice. See, a lot of us don't even know what malice is. It's at the very height of malice to take pleasure in the misery of someone else. Malice is hatred and bitterness at its worst. Malice is at the point to where you want somebody to hurt. You want them to be destroyed. And it's at the very height of that to wish misery on someone else and to delight in it. I mean, when somebody falls into sin, when somebody's life is destroyed by sin, that's about the worst thing ever can happen to them. So for us to sit back and relish that, what a blight against the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not Christ-like behavior. You may say, preacher, you're meddling this morning. You're really meddling in our business. Well, guess what? That's what the Word of God's supposed to do. It's inconsistent with Christian charity to rejoice at the sins of others. Amen. It is inconsistent with a Christian life to spend your time with evil thoughts in your mind, always looking down on things, always looking at the worst in someone else. So, what does it do? Well, the Bible tells us very plainly. We've learned what it don't do, the love of Christ. What does it do? Well, the Bible says it rejoiceth in the truth. Amen. It rejoiceth in the truth. It rejoiceth. Look, we watched a man all week long full of joy. Amen. He rejoiceth. Amen. He full of, I mean, he's a high kicker. Amen. He gets full of joy. I got to let it out somewhere. Amen. I love being around him. He stirs me up to want to have joy. Listen, the Bible tells us in 2 John 1:4, it says, I rejoiced. Paul said, John said, I rejoiced greatly. Greatly. I didn't say, well, amen. No, I rejoiced. Hallelujah. Glory. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. He was so excited that those who in the church he was writing to, he was so excited to learn that people were getting saved and what was taught was being passed on to another group and another generation, that the people there were beginning to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, and that unconditional love was abounding in them, that it was not something that was just talked about, but it was really something tangible and real there. John said, man, I rejoice. I rejoiced greatly when I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. They're walking in it. They're loving it. They're living it. It's real. Is it real in you? Well, check yourselves. Examine yourselves. Lay it up there beside the Word of God. Lay it up there beside the standards that's been set and see if it sticks. You see, real love, unconditional love, God's love, it rejoices in the truth. It rejoices in the success of the gospel. When we hear of God moving and working somewhere, we don't say, well, he ain't working like that here. I don't know why he ain't working like that here. We don't get jealous of God doing something in some other place. You know, some preachers like that. They get mad God doing something somewhere else, ain't doing it in their church. They ought to get on their face before God and cry out and say, God, why ain't it happening here? Instead of getting mad because it's happening somewhere else. Amen. I've seen people, somebody talk about so-and-so got saved. Well, I don't know if they really got saved or not. They don't like it because they weren't there. They didn't have nothing to do with it. I don't know if they really got saved. Listen, I praise God when somebody gets saved. Doesn't make no difference if I know them or not, because they're my brother or sister then. Amen. Oh, we ought to get excited. It ought to cause us to get joyful. You know why it should cause us to get joyful? Listen, beside the fact that they're not going to burn in hell for all eternity, listen, second of all, amen, we got a brother or sister in Christ that we didn't have before. But you know what? Christ is glorified. That's the number one reason, is Christ is glorified. Amen? Listen, it ought to cause us also to remember our salvation. And remember how good it was that he saved us. It ought to cause us to have joy. And that joy ought to come out if it's in there. We can't stifle that joy. Listen, sin will stifle the joy, and you won't get excited about nothing that God does. That's how people sit there and grumble and sit there sour and sit there when God's moving and they do nothing. I've told this story before, but I can remember. I can remember years ago, and again, some of y'all just forgive me because I've told this story a lot, but years ago in Ralston, Arkansas, I was at a revival meeting at Ralston Baptist Church, and I was there with my pastor, Brother Joe Brown, and we'd been in that meeting all week long, and it was a dead old country church. But the preacher was preaching. He was a fireball. I mean, we were enjoying it. These people hadn't heard preaching like this in who knows how long. And I mean, the preacher was preaching. He was getting after it. And me and Brother Joe, we came in there, and he said, where you want to sit? I said, let's sit on the front. He said, where you want to sit on the front for? I said, because when I holler and shout amen, I don't want nobody to have to turn around and look and see who done it. They see up on the front. Amen. And they was sitting about where Miss Betty's sitting in relation to that church. There was an elderly man who stood there, and I'll never forget it. We were on our way out of there, and I mean, that place was packed, and we were filing out, and it had been a rather lengthy service, and it had been a rather emotional service. It had been a rather lively and loud service, and God had been moving, and things had been happening. And matter of fact, the Sunday school teacher had gotten saved, and the song leader had gotten saved. And that old man stood back there grumbling because we'd been there so long. And we were all filing out. And I mean, we were on cloud nine. We were walking out of there joyful. Brother Joe was right in front of me. We was walking out through that mass of humanity. And Brother Joe said to him, said, "Hey, man, you better get up there on the front where the fire's at." He said, "Somebody ought to light a fire in this sucker and burn it down." That man backed out of his driveway the next day and got plowed into by a log truck, went out into eternity. You know what? God says we ought to rejoice in the truth. He wasn't rejoicing in truth. He didn't want the truth. He wanted everybody to leave him alone and let him get out of here. Now, you say, why God take him out for that? I don't know, but I think God's kind of jealous about his word and his truth and what he's doing. And he doesn't like people casting doubt on what he's doing and talking ugly about what he's doing. Listen to me. Christ-like spirit would have never criticized the moving of God. Hey, that man never knew what hit him until he went out into eternity. I'm going to tell you something. The love of God rejoices in the truth. It rejoices to see men molded by the Spirit of God and made into vessels of honor. I'm talking about men who were worthless formerly in their life, who didn't do nothing but hurt others and bring sorrow upon others, and God can take them and change them. Let me tell you something. God changed me. He changed me. I was nothing. I was worthless. I was worthless. And God changed me. And all that I am now is nothing but what he has done. It is not me. I didn't do anything. I didn't educate myself and get better. I didn't physically exert myself and get better. I didn't do anything. God did it in me. And I rejoice in what he's done in me and what he's doing in me. And I rejoice at what he's doing in you. We're to rejoice in that. When we see God working in somebody's life, when we see somebody, when we hear one of these little kids, they've memorized the scripture or they've learned the truth, we ought to rejoice. Not act like, oh, well, everybody knows that. No, we ought to rejoice. Praise God. I mean, that's giving honor to God. Do you rejoice? Or are you so caught up in you that you ain't got time to rejoice? You see, the love of God, it doesn't take pleasure in sin. It doesn't take pleasure in sin. It doesn't look back at a man's sins. It looks forward to what God's going to make that man into. Listen, it takes pleasure in seeing God mold these men and women and make them people of honor, character, integrity, upright for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to take pleasure in that. We ought to encourage that. We ought to be joyful about that. It ought not be this old, ordinary, everyday stuff. Listen, that ought to be a celebration when God begins to work in somebody's life. It gives satisfaction to see truth and justice prevail. Amen. We ought to want to see truth prevail. Amen. We ought to rejoice when we see the innocent cleared. Amen. We ought to rejoice when we see trust established. We ought to rejoice in the things of God. I mean, the good things of God. That's who we're to be. We ought to rejoice when we see people dedicate themselves to serving God. We ought to rejoice when we see a church begin to grow. We ought to get excited. Listen, if your mind is filled with evil thoughts, if you're full of negativity, if everything in you tends to look downward, you ought to ask yourself, where's the love of God in my life? Where's the love of Christ? It's not where it ought to be. It's not ruling and reigning. See, those evil thoughts will generate evil actions and destroy you. The love of God is not about mocking and making a mockery and laughing and joking at sin. If that's where you find your joy and your pleasure, you ought to really seriously consider your faith. No. You ought to live and breathe to rejoice in what God is doing. And if you can't find joy in that, you better check yourself. I'm just telling you this morning because I love you. The love of Christ is to be the motor of your life. Some of us got some dead misses. Some of us ain't firing on all cylinders. Let me tell you something. If I were you, I'd turn it over to God. If I were you, I would confess it to God. If I were you, I would throw myself on God's mercy. I'd beg God to forgive me. I'd ask God to remove it and clean me. I'd ask God to restore me and to energize me. I wouldn't wait any longer. I'd do it today. Let's stand together. Father, help us now. We ask for you to move this morning. Lord God, you've been stirring this week. Lord, we pray this morning you'd move. Oh, Lord God, pour your spirit out on us. Father God, I pray, Lord, this morning folks would not hesitate to do business with you. Oh, Lord, please do a work in our life. We need you, Father, more than anything we need you. And we pray, Father, that your blessing would be upon us this morning as we come to this time of invitation. Oh, Lord. Please, Lord, don't let the devil steal what Christ is trying to do in our life. Lord God, don't let the devil take our joy. Lord, you show us how we truly are. Lord God, we'd yield to you all of these things. We'd turn it over to you, and we'd ask you to clean us. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your spirit. Lord, that we might give you glory with our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.